that are going to kind of move us in a direction today as we think about our children, as we think about our graduates, and we think about the priority of ministry that we need to have in our families and our churches when it comes to kids. So I want to just start with a word of prayer this morning. Let's open up our Bibles to the book of Mark chapter 10, and we're going to kind of dive into that in just a minute this morning. Let's just pray. Father God, thank you for your word today. Thank you, dear God, for the power of your word, Lord, to change lives through your Holy Spirit. And I just pray, Lord, that as we celebrate this day, as we think about the growth, Lord, in our children, Father, our many wonderful graduates, Lord, that are just moving on in life in so many ways, Father, we ask, Lord, that you would just take your word now to us this morning as we look at it. Father, even just briefly, I pray, dear God, that you would speak to our hearts. Father, take away any distractions that might exist. And Lord God, give us clarity of thought as we try to communicate your holy word, your eternal word today. Father, I just ask that you would just work now in our hearts. Help us be able to receive this, Lord, in a way that we can apply it. And we ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. So take your Bibles and go to Mark chapter 10, if you guys would. We're looking at verses 13 to 16, not a big passage. But I want to begin this morning as we stop and think about this. You know, today, by the way, everybody look up. Today was a little chaotic, wasn't it? You know, I know it was kind of chaotic in church, wasn't it? It wasn't seamless. We made some mistakes and you know, we missed this or that. It's a little rough with kids because they have a hard time following instructions, even worse than us adults. But you know what? It was great having them here, wasn't it? It was awesome having them here. It was an awesome thing. Because that's what ministry is all about. That is high on God's priority list. And today we want to think about those thoughts as we dive into the message this morning. And we want to just reflect on those things today and just thank God for the great and many things that he is doing. So I want to just look at the eternal truth this morning. And I want you guys to kind of get this in your heart. By the way, the Awana ministry that we recognize this morning has adopted a slogan a lot like this. They say, because kids matter to God. But the eternal truth is this. You know, you wonder why we do what we do. We wonder why we kind of spend our energy and look a little frazzled and burn out. Why we do that is because kids matter to God. They really matter intensely to God. And I want to say this as we dig into the eternal truth. There are no insignificant people to God. And that probably should have generated a louder amen than that. Carolyn was leading the way, but there's no insignificant people to God, is there? Jesus died for the world. And that world includes young people that need to know him and know that truth so that their lives can be changed. And the king, and I want to just step back from that and just kind of thinking about that. The kingdom of God, though, is not what we think, is it? Because when we think about, you know, kids and young people, sometimes we go, you know, they're kind of annoying. They're kind of loud. They're kind of hard to control. You know, but God's priority and the kingdom priority is way different. God's priority and purpose is to redeem those that the world judges as unimportant, especially children. And we as parents, families, and as a church family need to adopt that. And a question I want you guys to think about as Pastor Ansu and I just walk quickly through this passage is, how does this measure up? If this is God's priority, how does that measure up with our priorities and our purpose as parents and as Christ Church right here? How does that measure up? Is that our priority? And I want to turn it over to Pastor Ansu, and he's going to share a little bit about that first. We're going to tag team together as we recognize our churches and the good things that God is doing.
Amen. Kids matter to God. First of all, I want us to look at the context when Mark wrote in chapter 10, He deals with some teachings, and including marriage, divorce, and all these things. And now, as we look at the context of this passage, we also want to look at the timing all these events took place. Now, it was almost about the time Jesus was to be crucified. He was on the way to the cross. And then he's there teaching the crowd. And it somehow focused on his disciples. Because his disciples who were with him, listening to the master preach, they have different set of mind. Now, quickly, if we go back in the book of Mark chapter 9, these disciples were arguing among themselves. The scripture said they were on the way to Capernaum, and they were arguing, who is the greatest? And they have just listened to Jesus teach and brought a little child and sat that child on his lap and said, whoever want to be the greatest must be like a little child. Amen. And they did not grasp that. And guess what? This passage was mentioned 3 times in Mark, in Matthew, and in Luke. So if it had been mentioned 3 times, it means that Jesus was very serious about what he was teaching. It means a whole lot. There's a principle. There's priorities in what he was teaching. And here his disciples did not even grab it. They were arguing among themselves, who is the greatest? And the scripture said when it came out of place and they questioned Jesus, and Jesus questioned them, why were they arguing? And Jesus said, if anyone wants to be the great, or greatest should be like a little child. Amen. Now, I want us to look at a teaching that Jesus did while he was going through this time. As I spoke earlier, it was big issues on divorce, riches. If you look at the passage in the scripture of Mark, there was this rich person, and he spoke about a divorce, he talked about rewards, he talks about a cross, and he spoke about greatness. And to the disciple, amazing, as we read in verse 13, they say, then they brought little children to him that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. As we go to, it's not there. They rebuked those who brought the little children. Now, here's the thing. We don't know why the disciples rebuked these little kids. The parents or the caregiver or whoever they were. We don't know why the disciples rebuked them. But, you know, I was going through some commentary, and this commentary kind of spelled out some ideas and said, probably if you look at the reason, it might be that these disciples, they wanted to exercise their own authority. Look, you can't come closer to the master. I'm in charge. And if we go back to Mark chapter 9, verse 34, it kind of gave idea because they were arguing who's the greatest. Right? So it kind of gave an idea that they were arguing this one want to be the greatest, this person want to be the greatest. But they forgot about the message. And I read on to, he said, probably, if we look at Mark chapter 9, verse 38, they kind of want Jesus all for themselves. Because if you look at Mark chapter 9, verse 38, the disciples came to Jesus and said, there was this one man who was rebuking, cast demons in your name. And guess what? We tried to silence him because he's not part of us. He's not one of us. They missed the idea. But as we go further, Jesus kind of let them know they missed the mark because the kingdom of God is not based on title, it's not based on connection, it's not based on who you know. It's absolutely different. You can be a little child, you still have a place in the kingdom of God. Amen. And that's the idea these disciples did not understand. They did not grab the concept. As we look, Jesus tell them, such of these are the ones that are accepted. Because what? If you look in the ancient world, Roman world, children were not considered valuable. Children were not even counted. Children were not even in the midst of any decision. So at the end, children didn't have a voice. They couldn't say anything. Nobody. They couldn't be represented. Nothing. So if Jesus could allow these little children to come unto him, it's a message that he was trying to tell his disciples. Even though you are part of me, but if, unless you can be like that little child or the little kids, that's the only way you can become part of the kingdom of God. So I'm going to pause here, and Pastor Gary is going to go in there, give us some insight on the passage.
So we see Jesus in this passage, right? And the Word of God does this, right? Everybody look up. The Word of God does this, doesn't it? It kind of straightens out what's wrong. It kind of corrects our thinking. And by the way, don't we all think our thinking is right? Like every time we have an argument with someone, it's because we think our thinking is right and they're wrong. But a lot of times we're wrong, and the disciples who were closest to Jesus were wrong, and now Jesus is going to set them straight. And I want to just take a minute as we dive into this verse that says, these people that knew Jesus, it says, they brought their little children to him that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked those who brought them. And I want you guys to get this understanding, and there's a couple things I'd like you guys to write these down. The first point I want you to get a hold of here today is, I want to think about kids. And I spelled it kind of a cute way just to get your attention. I really know how to spell. Right? Kids, right? Kids. K-I-D-S. But we use it here at the church. K-I-D-Z. Kids matter to God, right? And I want you guys to get this picture, right? It says the parents wanted Jesus to touch them, to bless them, to change them, to give them life, because they knew that only life could be found in Jesus. The parents wanted them to have that. You know, and that's, by the way, and Ansu and I were talking this morning. Ansu, in his study, too, he said, you know, he was reading about the high priest. When the high priest came into town in the Jewish world, the parents wanted the kids to touch them, to bless them. They wanted him to be around him. You know, we see that today with religious leaders. Everybody wants, you know, the Pope or the priest or somebody to touch them and bless their children. And by the way, that idea, we want our kids to know Jesus, is a great thing, isn't it? Mm. And as parents, that's got to be a passionate thing in our hearts. But I wanted, guys, look at your attention on the second point there. Read it out with me. What did parents do? They brought them to Jesus. And I want to throw out to you guys, and I'm going to say this kind of tongue-in-cheek, but there's a lot behind this. They didn't wait for the bus to come pick up their kids. They came to Jesus, and they brought their kids to him. Right? That's what God wants us to do. Like, we can't share what we don't have. You know, we read Deuteronomy chapter 6, the Shema in the Hebrew economy. You know, it says, you know, we're supposed to teach our kids that the Lord our God is one, and we're supposed to know it and embrace it first and then to pour it into their lives every single moment that God gives us opportunity. Amen. Right? That's what God's saying. He says, so they brought these children to Jesus. And I want to throw out to you guys, and we experience this here on Sundays, on Fridays in the old world, on Wednesdays when kids are here, right? Kids are kids. Right? And guess what? They're loud. They like to eat candy. They do what they do. They're kids. And we as adults, sometimes we get frustrated or annoyed that kids are kids. But you know what? So were we. Some of us are still trying. I know I am sometimes. Right? Well, you know, kids are kids. And the challenge, as I look at this, right, the kids were kids. They were getting close to Jesus. Jesus was rubbing off on them. He was beginning to bless them and change them. And all of a sudden, the disciples say, "Oh, wait a minute. We're talking about serious stuff with Jesus. Get those guys out of here." And I want to share with you, as I stop and think about that, Jesus had a little different idea about that thought. And I want to throw that out to us. I just heard this, by the way, in our congregation. I could hear somebody kind of crying or a little child making a noise. Everybody look up. praise God, we hear that in our congregation.
Amen.
Because if we stop hearing that, that means we're dying. That means the sales sign's going to go on the door because we're not passing on to the next generation Jesus Christ. And Jesus had a real bone of contention with these disciples. And look what it says, and when Jesus saw it, read the words with me, he was a little upset, right? No. What's the word say? He was greatly displeased. And he said to them, let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of God. And there's one thing about little kids, they don't have the pride we have. They're not jaded like we are as adults. They don't have all the baggage that we bring. They can get close to Jesus because all that junk isn't in the way. And that's why Jesus said, let them come. You know, an author wrote a book a while back in a youth ministry, but it was called Age of Opportunity. You know, the fact that we have kids in our midst, this is the age of opportunity that they might come to Jesus Christ. And it's a whole lot easier before they get jaded and have all the baggage that we do as adults. This is an age of opportunity. God wants them here. God wants to minister to them through us the love of Christ and the salvation that we find only in Jesus Christ. Amen. God wants that to happen. And Jesus is not pulling punches. By the way, you know, Jesus, a lot of times we make up Jesus to be this kind of like sissy Jesus, you know, lover, that never does anything wrong. Jesus got angry at the religious people when they were off the mark and he let them know. And he's letting us know now how we got to focus our ministries and our families. And I want to just slide on very quickly today. You know, there's a couple things, and Ansu alluded to this, and we've been kind of tag-teaming this, talking about this whole week. But what Jesus is trying to communicate to people, and we all need to kind of get this, is kingdom values. God's values. You know, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, right? They're all on the page together. But these are God's values. And here's an important thing that we have to realize. When we get annoyed with our kids or someone else's kids, children are created in the image of God, and children are valuable to God. They really are. And I'll tell you something. Everybody look up. You know, we say this a lot. They're our future. Is that true? Yes. But it's also true they're our present. Mm-hmm. They're so important to us right now. And what we can build into theirs right now, build into their lives, that's what matters. Children are valuable to God. And I just continue that thought. The insignificant to us at times are significant. In God's economy, they're valuable. You guys remember the passage in James chapter 2 where it says, James writes this, and under the power of the Holy Spirit, he says, you know what? We should not be judges of people. When people come into worship, if they're dressed all nice, don't give them the best seat versus someone who comes in a little tattered looking. Because God said, you're wrong. You're judging, right? And the way we look at the world, the way we look at things, a lot of times is wrong. You know, and God's been working in my heart. We know we've had, even around our church, we are ministering to people that in the past we felt a lot more uncomfortable with. But I want to say this. You know what? There is no insignificant human being on earth to God.
Amen.
There's no insignificant ones. And, you know, God's kind of spoken in my heart. We've had some people even that have been homeless. They've been kind of hanging out around the church. And, you know, we have this idea in our mind sometimes. We just want to shoo them away. Get those people out of here. But you know what? I think Jesus has a different perspective about those people and about young people. He wants us to minister to them, to reach them, to be the church of Christ, not the church of us. Amen? And he just makes that point so, so clearly in this context. He makes another point as well. He says, surely I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter in. And this idea, this thought that he's trying to get across to us is, For us to put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we got to let our barriers down. We got to be humble. We got to have some characteristics that allow the Spirit of God to break through our brick-hard heart and give us light and give us hope and let us know that there is truth and there is life even beyond death. And that has to happen in the power of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus says that. And I wanted to share with you guys today as we think about this. And everybody look up for a quick second. Almost everyone here has a part of this church family. Almost everyone here has kids in their family. And what God wants us to understand is teaching them about spiritual things is one of his highest priorities. That starts at home. It continues in the body. We can strengthen each other, do things together that maybe we couldn't do all by ourselves, but it begins at home. And here's why this is an age of opportunity, why it's so important. There's some key characteristics about kids that God wants us to understand, why this is the age of opportunity. And here they are, right? You know what? Kids are sincere, generally. Kids are enthusiastic. You saw him, right? I saw Emmanuel's son run up here like two or three times during the song, right? I didn't see any of the rest of you all do that. Right? That enthusiasm, right? Like, man, we want it, don't we? Sometimes as we get older, these kids, they're enthusiastic about being involved and about learning about God. This is an age of opportunity. Kids are eager. They're enthusiastic. Kids are trusting. Even when we mess up, and by the way, as a parent, man, we mess up a lot, don't we? Yes. A lot of times we got to say, you know, wife, forgive me. Kids, forgive me. I was all wrong. You know, we get our emotions and kind of mess things up. But you know what? Man, kids are trusting. Kids are forgiving. Kids are dependent on us. You know, they can't find these things out. When we start with kids in our church, they can't even read. Social media is not impacting them too much at that stage. But you know what? When they see the gospel in your flesh and blood, it really can be life-changing. When they begin to trust you and follow you and see that impact that you can have, not just when they're little, but when they grow up, man, that is impactful in their lives. And these qualities are fitting for disciples or followers of Christ. And all that says, you know what? This is the time to teach them the foundations of life spiritually. And I want to encourage us as a church. We thought about this a lot today, and we're probably a little bit long. Sorry. We're a little bit long. It was a little chaotic. But you know what? We're doing exactly what God wants us to do.
Amen.
Church is not a performance. It's not going to be perfect. But man, you know what? When we can look back and say, look what God is doing in our kids, that is God's greatest blessing and success. And I want to turn over to Pastor Ansu because he's going to say, how in the world do we apply this in our lives right now?
Amen. Amen. We've heard from Mark the importance of the kingdom of God. Yes. Now, even as Jesus welcomes the children, guess what? He uses the opportunity to make it clear that the entrance into the kingdom of God, it's not just earned. It's not because I'm a pastor that means I have clear passage to the kingdom of God.
Amen.
It doesn't matter how much I pay my tithe on Sunday morning or how much I pay to the church, I provide to the church, will give me a clear entrance to the kingdom of God. No, we must earn it. We must receive the kingdom of God like these children. That's the message Jesus was giving. Now, what do we do as we go to the next slide? What can we learn? What can we do? Next thing, we need to step up. We need to stop playing church and step up. Jill said, when she was up there, she said, social media should not train our children. These network, Instagram, all these network platforms should not train our children. Parents, we need to step up. We need to get ready. Guess what? Satan is busy. He knows the future of the church lies in the hands of our children. And if we cannot impact the word of God into them, they become vulnerable. Amen? And as parents, we need to grow personally. And we need to be patient with our children. You know, I thank God for Stuart Boyle. When he started with the kids, he said, you know, some of the kids don't even know the books of the Bible from Genesis. When he said, find Genesis chapter 1, they don't even know. And I was amazed, little Karina standing here, and Pastor Gary and I were joking, even an adult, you can't even find them to say just the Old Testament book in order. But our children need, if we parents can put that in our kids, we are planting a better seed in their lives. And what do we need to do? We need to welcome them. You know, I was going through this commentary, and he's a pastor I love. And he wrote, he said there was a statistic given concerning children, kids that goes to church on Sunday, and kids that stays home on Sunday morning. And he found out that the kids that stay home on Sunday are more than the kids that come to church on Sunday. And he said he wanted to prove that to see whether it's true. So Sunday morning he came to church, and by the time he could get through preaching his message, the entire church was full. So he said, this is the right time. And then he asked every parent, he said, if you have kids, put your hands up. And everybody was excited and put their hands up. And he said, all of you have kids, right? And he said, if your kids are here today, put your hands down. And those that put their hand down were lesser than those that hands remained up. That means there were more parents, they were in church, but the kids were home. How can we impact the word of God in the lives of our children when they are not coming to Sunday school, they are not coming to church, when they are not in the presence of God? How can we? Jesus says the kingdom of God is such like these ones. So what can we do as a church? What can we do as parents? What can we do? Let us step up our game. Let us step up. Let us be patient. Let us be ready to impact the word of God. Bring your kids to church. If you can take them to the football game, take them to church. If you can take them to the basketball game, take them to church. Pastor Gary said, sooner or later, we don't want to put a sign out there. Because why? No one is there to carry up the word of God. We're going to be entering to VBS. Don't stay home. Don't allow your kids to stay home. Bring them to learn the word of God. We standing here, we learn it because we went through all of these activities. And we are able to stand here today to preach the word of God. You being here, you went through the same process. Don't give excuses for your children. Let them know that the word of God is important than the video games. Let them know the word of God is important than the football game. Let them know the word of God is important than any other thing. Matthew says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added unto you. That's why we need to do church. That's why we need to do parents. And if we can do that, our church will continue to grow. Our children will continue to grow in the word of God. So the question now is, who's in? Oh, I just see a few hands. But we all need to be involved, getting our kids involved in Sunday school, in Awana, in youth team, in whatever a program the church has. We need to get our children involved. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. I want to add one last thought to that. A lot of times it looks like when you guys see us in church, maybe not today, that we got it all figured out. We got it all together. We don't need any more help. That is the biggest lie going. We need your help. We need you guys. You might say, well, I have a hard time with kids. You can learn. You know, you can just relate to them. You may not know everything, but God can teach you. God can instruct you. Like we all started not knowing too much too. But God's able to take you and use you and gift you for exactly what he calls you to do. And, you know, as I read this passage, I know one thing God's called us to do, and that's to minister to kids. Amen?
Amen.
So as you see our church, you say, man, church is crazy. We're ministering to kids. Amen. To the glory of God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We are going to close with a word of prayer, and I will have our praise team come up to sing with us too. So we're going to ask them to come first, and they're going to sing a song for us and lead us in it.